Okay, good morning, everyone. We're on page Chaf Aleph, Os Chaf Hey. The sheets will be coming any minute. I didn't finish typing them up till about midnight last night, so Jeanette's running them off. So you'll have yesterday's class, and hopefully today's class should be here any minute. So we're in Os Chaf Hey, which will be 25. We talked about how a person can have a lot of money, but he doesn't know where to buy the apartment. He'll end up with no apartment, even though he has a lot of money. Similarly, a person can have a lot of mitzvahs and learn a lot of Torah, which is the equivalent of, in the parable, to cash, so to speak, to cash in on your relationship with Hashem. But if you don't know where to go with that cash, and you don't know where the relationship of Hashem can be found, then it doesn't work. So he continues in Chaf Hey, and again, we have to be a little patient. Perhaps one more day till he really gets to the meat of things. So he says an interesting point though in Chaf Hey. Okay, here come the sheets. It's 25. Section 25. Hayetzahara no sein la adam lil maitar lakai mitzvahs. Guess what? The Yetzahara will allow a person to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. There's no problem with you learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Ulam, however, humali mimenu as a nakuda pshuta, but he hides from us that we don't focus on the simple point of mahatachle shel kolze. What's the purpose of all this? He doesn't mind if you learn Torah. He doesn't mind if you do mitzvahs. As long as you don't use them for what they're meant to be used, he couldn't care less what you're doing. We think the HR stops us from doing mitzvahs. Sometimes, but quite often he need not do that. I'll get him to do mitzvahs all day long. I'll get him to learn Torah all day long. I'll make sure there'll be so many trees in front of them, they won't be able to see the forest. And as long as they don't see the forest, they will not accomplish the goal of mitzvahs. Remember, doing mitzvahs, as we've said, is a means to a goal. So what if you just make sure they don't get to the goal? The Yetzer's job is for you to fail. That's his job. That's what he's paid to do. Right? He has to do his best to give you the test. Right? So sometimes the best way to make you fail is to make you think that you're not failing while you are failing. What do you mean? I go to Daf Yomi every day. I'm learning every day Torah. What do you mean? I go to shul, I give tzedakah, I do all the, how can you, and the person thinks he's a good Jew. And he sincerely believes that. And I don't believe there's any phoniness to what he thinks. The problem is, he's forgetting the most important point. Is this getting close? Are you getting closer to God with this or not? And as long as you, and if you don't even know, you don't even know what the goal is. If you ask you, why are you putting on tefillin? Because God said so. You know, and they can't say, because this gets me closer to Hashem. Right? They're missing the goal. So, you know, if you're seeing people learning a lot and doing a lot of mitzvahs, that's good. It's better than not. For sure, that's better than not. But the Yetzer will be very crafty to make sure that you're not going to have the focus on what the goal is. He's going to give about 5 or 6 different ploys that he's using. And, you know, we all fall into one of these ploys. Or, humonea mina adam afil lachshav al kach matachlis. He'll prevent a person from even thinking about it, of what the goal is. Either he's going to hide from you what the goal is, or he won't allow you to think about what the goal is. He maintains a person in this type of routine. Shalom dim Torah mekayim mitzvahs. They learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And they don't think at all, what is the goal of what I'm doing? And he gets us into that routine, and that's what the prophet exhorts us about, this idea of mitzvahs anashim milumado, robotic mitzvah observance, where we're doing it and we're not even thinking why we're doing it. He says, Zehu kocha shel yetzahara. This is the power of the yetzahara. Who knows Saint La'adam es hakol. He gives a person everything for spirituality. Chutz min ha'ikar, except for the main thing. As long as you don't have the main thing, there's no threat at all. There's not one threat at all. Hatachle shel hakol nechseres chas v'shalom. The goal of everything can be lacking, God forbid. Now, What if v'im hu kvar noisin l'adam lachshov al kach she'atachlus hikirv Hashem? Let's say he can't stop you, and you are able to think of what the goal is, and you know the goal is to get close to Hashem. That's fine. He still is not short of ploys. Azai hu mali mimenu esamal shel kirvas Hashem. So I'll hide from him what is the essence of this closeness to Hashem. So you'll say, I'm doing it to get close to Hashem. Okay, so what is it? I'm being close to Hashem. What is it? I don't know. Okay, there's steps. Either A, you won't even think about why you're doing it. Right? You won't think what the goal is. The first step is you don't even have time to think what the goal is. Second time is, even if you have time to think, you just don't know what the goal is. Third one is, it'll tell you this is the goal, but you don't know what the goal means. Any of them, all of them doesn't help you. Right? Or another one. Oshu Marlo, or he'll show him, this is what close. Shekiras Hashemi, v'chol mine, next page. Tsuros Vagdoras. He gives you all kinds of abstract things, abstract definitions, You'll be hooked into the power. You'll have the aura. You'll be hooked into the spheros. What? May the source be with you. May the force be with you. Right? So, and it'll give you all kinds of mystical equations. You're gonna have chesed with his chesed and gvura with his gvura and this and that. But thereby, he distances him from the real understanding of what closest to Hashem is. So he gives you a false definition of closest to Hashem that you're happy with. Or another thing is, and this is a big one, we hinted to it before, Oshahu mishachneya es ha'adam, or he will convince or persuade the person, shilakirvis Hashem zochim rak beganeidim v'elam abo. You only merit that in the world to come. That's it. You don't feel anything? That's great. You're not meant to feel anything here. It's only after you leave this world. But in this world, this is way beyond a person's intellectual capacity to know what Kirvas Hashem is. Right? It's a great thing, and when you die, you'll find it. He puts into the mind of a person the following thought. He doesn't need to know what is Kirvas Hashem. You don't need to know this. This is something that comes automatically. Someone who does Torah and fulfills mitzvahs. So it'll come. It'll come when? At the moment that you leave this world and you come up to the heavens, Ozai then miyad hu margish pisom kirvas Hashem gedol v'niflo kol echelofi madregoso. Then all of a sudden, immediately when you leave this world, you'll suddenly feel this amazingly wondrous closeness to Hashem. Everyone according to their levels, depending on how much of a tzaddik you were, then you'll get a higher level of this closeness to Hashem. What is it? We can't talk about it. It's just, we don't know what it is. In the physical world, you can't know what it is. Ulam, but, ze'eno inyan klal, shetzorach lasag v'balamazah. This is not a topic you have to deal with in this world at all. It's all what the Yetzer tells you. You have no need for it. You're not gonna get it in this world. And therefore, he continues, same line of reasoning. Ein tzorach she'adam yasok b'nistaras makar v'shamayim. There's no need for a person to engage himself in looking into the hidden mystical things that are going to happen in the heavens. Kach ha-yetzahara mishachnei as-adam. This is how the yetzahara convinces a person. Shezehu tshuka lodas es-ha-asid v'sanolam. He's telling you, there's only a yearning to know the future and what's hidden, and you have no need. But you throw this all into the category with what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, really don't need to know the details of Mashiach. We really don't need to know the details of Olam Haba, because we can't know it. So we throw one more in. You don't need to know this idea of closeness to Hashem. You don't need to know it. You're not going to get it here. And the HR keeps pummeling away on this last point. He says, Shibamachom lasok besakronus. That instead of engaging yourself with curiosities, that's what it is, a curiosity. V'chipus hanelam asidi, and searching for that hidden future that you're not going to have in your lifetime. You're spending all this time trying to figure out this kirvas elokim business. That's for the next world, it's not for here. So why are you wasting your time? Better, you know what? Better serve God by learning Torah and doing mitzvah simply. In other words, why are you wasting your time contemplating these mystical ideas that are of no value to do when you should be spending your time learning Torah and doing mitzvahs? It's gone full circle on you there, you see? It's gone full circle on you. He's trying to get you to do mitzvahs and not to get to the goal. When you start thinking of the goal, he tells you the goal is not for this world. Better go to the things that are Torah mitzvahs without the goal. You shouldn't stick your head into understanding what is the essence of closeness to Hashem. That's what the Yetzer tells you to do. Zos va'od rabos kehenu tanosa shol Yetzer. This and other types of excuses and reasonings is what the Yetzer is filled with. V'im rabim lein sefor. There's so many you can't even count how many types of manipulations the Yetzer has. All of them somehow showing you don't think about the goal. But what is the common denominator of all this type of advice that the Yetzer gives you? All of them, in one way or another, it distances a person from the desire and the yearning to understand what is this closeness to Hashem. Ulahasig hasaga chushis gemura belev es kirvusa yisparach shemo. And to understand and to feel a real feeling in your heart of what closeness to Hashem is. That's the bottom line of what he does. Hashem yiyah bezrein, Hashem should help us. Shol nisha latzos shol yetzahara, that we don't listen to this advice of the Yetzahara. V'nachlut levar bir gomer ma'ar kivas Hashem amitis. But rather we should choose to clarify in a very clear way what is the true closeness to Hashem, umaya derech lasigo, and what is the way to reach it. Okay, so this section 25 basically shows you how far the Yetzer Hara will go. How much, and when you're fighting a war, sometimes you have to give up some ground in order to reinforce your troops and to catch the person somewhere else. Or to, you know, sometimes you'll let them win a lot of insignificant battles. You know, your really idea was to attack somewhere else. But you'll let them send all their forces here and they'll let them think they're winning. They're winning. But they're going to use up all their energies in a war that really isn't such a critical war. So the same thing is, they're very willing to give up lots of territory. You know, that's what the Russians did to the Germans. Go ahead, you can take as much land as you want. Go deeper and deeper into Russia. Get deep, deep, deep till the winter sets in and then you'll be finished. And that's what the Russians were able to give up, land. The Yetzer Hara can give up a lot. In his fight with us, he can give up us learning Torah, he can give us learning mitzvahs. He can give and give. And you know what the problem is? You think you're winning. You said, I'm so good. You know, I've been coming to shul every day. I'm winning the war. Now, chas v'shalom, I don't want you to think that you may not be winning the war. But if you keep digging forward and you don't keep, you know, putting the supply lines in and you don't reinforce the troops as you're getting deeper and deeper, you're getting into real trouble. You think you're winning. So with these additional gains, yes, you're learning and you're davening and this and that. But then, and you support it with that supply line of what is Kirvas Hashem, now you're going to win the war. So that's what the Yetzer Hara is going to always get you off that mark. I'm telling you, this is the biggest Yetzer Hara. I just can't understand it. How you, in most places, most shuls, do you see a Musar Yomi? Kirvas Hashem Elokim Yomi? It's just not there. It's this Daf Yomi. And again, I'm not against Daf Yomi. If you know what Kirvas Elokim is, and you're using it to get you to Kirvas Elokim. You know, everybody comes up with their ideas of what they want to learn. It's unbelievable. People who have very little experience in the area of adult education, more than the year or two that they have done it as a novice, and they make all kinds of decisions of what they should learn without ever looking at this. Without consulting with someone who's an expert in it. So that's the Yetzer Hara says. That's the biggest Yetzer Hara. You know, decide you want to learn. Don't ask the rabbi what you should learn. You know what you want to learn better. Believe me, I don't need people's covet to ask me what they should learn. Okay? But when they don't ask, that's the Yetzer Hara. It's right there. Just learn what you want to learn. Learn where your heart pushes you. And they take these chazal, they twist and distort these chazals. The person should learn what his heart wants him to learn. That's true, but you can't go without this learning as well. You can't live without this learning. And that's what Yetzer Hara is going to get you to do chesed projects and this project and every single project in the world. And you're going to think you're the biggest tzaddikus. But at the end of the day, you don't feel this closeness to Hashem. At the end of the day, your kids see that you don't feel this closeness to Hashem, and there's no way you can transfer that to them. And that's where he gets you good. That's where he gets you really good. And we're so surprised when we lose. What happened? What happened is you forgot to put the supply line in. That's what you forgot. Yes, Leonard. It's interesting why we're giving the Hasidim the credit for this. We could say that Hasidim have emphasized it more, but I wouldn't say it's Hasidus per se, because it's the first line of the Shulchan Aruch. It's code of Jewish law. Right. First line of Shulchan Aruch. Keep Hashem before you at all times. Right. It's the first law of the Shulchan Aruch. Right, so everybody, Chassidish, Misnagdish, whoever you are, Sfardish, whoever you are, you know, it was so, in those days, the problem was it was so obvious what it meant in the 1500s, you didn't have to elaborate on it, right? But nowadays, you know, we just, okay, tell me how to keep Shabbos, and you forget that first paragraph, Sivisi Hashem. So you're right, Leonard, to a certain extent, Chassidim have, what's the word? They've emphasized it, brought the issue up because it was falling through, but certainly non-Hasidish tzaddikim certainly agree with this. Okay, why others aren't using that approach? I can't answer that. I can't answer that. But if you look, look at who gave the haskamas, who gave the approbations to this book. Rav Moshe Sternbach is not a chassid, very big tzaddik. He's not a chassid. Rav Eisenbach and others, some are, but he has chassidim as well. Silverstein, there are some that are, there some aren't. It's across the board. It's like everybody says it's a book that people should be reading. But that's what it is. So you want to call chassidus, we'll call chassidus. It's okay. That's fine. Okay, so, you know, a lot of Rabbi Nachman's Torah is not so accessible. It's not that easy to understand it all, you know. So here he's just laying it straight without, you know, giving anyone specific credit. These are all, this is David HaMelech. David HaMelech was a chassid. Okay, I mean, you don't have to come on to chassidus. You just read Tehillim and you see that Kirvas Elokim Li Tov. You look in the Mesillas Yesharim, also not chassidish, and he tells you, and he says, this is the whole, what your whole life is about, and this is your goal of life. And that's what you have. So, you know, I don't like to label it per se as chassidus, because for some, you know, others give a negative connotation to it, which I don't want to do. So, but that's okay. You can call chassidus if you want to call chassidus. These are the things that we were touching on with the Piazetz Nerebi, and God willing, you know, that's why I want to do this before we do Hacharas Avreichim, because Hacharas Avreichim is going to talk a lot about this kind of stuff. So that's why we're dealing with this. Okay, look around, you know, do a little research on your own. You know, people that are learning Torah, but do you sense that Kirvas Elohim at the same time? And you'll see where you'll be able to find the litmus tests. Okay, next Chafav, I still can't understand why he wrote Chafav, because it's going to be very similar to what he did earlier in Chaf Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Is it Chaf Aleph or Chaf? You'll see when I say it. I'm going to say, boy, this sounds familiar, and I'm going to say yes, Chaf Aleph. So, but he expands on it. So, we'll take to that expansion. When we finish Chafav, then he starts getting into the real meat of this. So we'll go through Chafav quickly, hopefully. 26. Ata ninasa levar b'milim pshutas mahi hamahu shal advekis b'boris baruch shemo. Now we will try to explain in simple words what is the essence of this clinging to Hashem. Mahi osa kirvas Hashem. What is this closeness to Hashem? Shaleo Amar David HaMelech of Hashem. That in reference to this, King David said, Vani, and for me, kirvas Elokim li tov. Closeness to Hashem, that is good for me. So Hashela Rishona, the first question we have to ask, Shetzrich Lishol, that we have to ask, he, Hecha Nimtza Kodesh Baruch Hu, where do you find Hashem? Where is he? Kishani wrote Elias Karv Lodom, if I want to be close to a person, Reishi Salai, the first thing that's incumbent upon me is Lavara Hechanu Nimso. Where is he found? Vakasher Hinini Odes Mekom Himso. And once I know where he is found, Haredi holach l'sham. I'll go there. V'nini yachol lahashos b'mechitzaso. And I can then stay and remain in his partitions, in his area. V'lias kovim, I can be close to him. But first I have to know where he is. Okay, it makes sense. Okay, and similarly, we think. When a person searches and wants to be close to Hashem. So, reishis mutalov levar heichan abarei olam nimtzol. So first thing we gotta know is, where is God found? Where did he find him? That's the first question. Ilo adam lo yodea es mokom imashal kodesh baruch. If a person on chav gimel now, if a person doesn't know the place where God is found, so how is it possible for him to be close to him? Right? Doesn't make sense. So where is he? First step, where is he? So Dvarim Burim Vizeh Amr Chazal, our rabbis clearly told us with the famous statement, Leis Asar Panui Minei, which in brackets he explains in Hebrew, in Makom Panim Eno. There's no place that is devoid of Hashem. There isn't a place where you won't find Hashem. Klomer, meaning to say, Shunim Sevachol Makom, he's found in every place. As we will say in our davening, very early on, before Pesukah de Zimra, we say, Atahu Atshaloni Vrolam, you are the one God up to before the world was not created. Va'atuhu mishni v'olam, and you are the one when the world was created. That's what we say in the davening, which means, shekashem shekoyim b'riyas ha'olam, just like before the world was created, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayah b'chol makom. Hashem was in every place, isn't he? Wasn't he? Before the world was created, what was there? God. Kein mamish gam la'achash nivralam, even after the world is created. Even though now there's a world, and there's a world, planet Earth, that seems to take up space. And there are creations that take up space. We have a book that takes up space. We have a tape recorder that takes up space. We have a table taking up place. We have people taking up space. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtzei b'chol makom mamish. Still, Hashem is literally in every place. And there's nothing that can prevent God from being in every place. That's what it means, that there's no place devoid of Hashem. Im kein huvar lanu, therefore it's clear to us. Shakadosh Baruch Hu nimtzei b'chol makom mamish. Hashem is literally found in every place. And to get close to Hashem, you don't have to travel outside of Eretz Yisrael. He was always saying, because he lives in Eretz Yisrael. Don't think to be close to God, I gotta leave town. Leave Eretz Yisrael. Vaflo l'chutzler, you don't even have to leave the city. Vaf besocher, even in the city, ain't Sarah Klan, so you're gonna travel even within this down the block, you don't have to go anywhere. Why? As it says in Sefer Dvarim, Ki karov elecha hadover me'od, because this thing is very close to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtzei b'chol makom, Hashem is found in every place. Ulekach, therefore, Adam yachol limtzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol makom, v'liyazkarev lo b'chol makom. A person is able to find Hashem in every place and be close to Hashem in every single place. Right? You know, that's why when we take our leave from a mourner, we say, HaMakom yinachem oscho. The place should comfort you. Calling Hashem the place. And one of the ideas is trying to say, you don't have to worry, you're never alone, Hashem is always with you. There isn't a place where Hashem doesn't exist. There is not one place where he doesn't exist. And even though the person you love so much is not here, you are not alone. Wherever you go, Hashem is with you. And if that beloved person was really connected to Hashem, as we'll see, that beloved person is always with you. Because as we're going to find out, the way you get close to God isn't the way we normally look at things. And that's part of the comfort, that God is everywhere, and anyone who's close to God is everywhere. We'll see. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But anyway, so if you're asking, you know, is it hard to get close to Hashem? It can't be, because he's here. He is here. So now, if you think about it, really think about what we're saying. So we should be asking a very simple, was the coffee ready? What happened? Okay. A very simple question on David HaMelech that he says, Vani kirvas Elohim litov. And for me, kirvas, closeness to Hashem is good for me. What does that sentence imply? Closeness to Hashem is good for me. Madua amar David HaMelech alav Hashem b'loshin kirvas. Why did King David use the word kirvas, which literally means closeness to? Proximity to. If David, King David says, for me, closeness to Hashem is good. right? What does that imply? That it's something you gotta do, something you gotta work on. I gotta do something to get close to Hashem. Right? But that's a strange understanding. Since Hashem is found in all places. Isn't God found in the place where the person is found? Isn't Hashem right here? In the very place where my body is, that's where God is. Can't get much closer than that, can you? God isn't just close to man. He's not just close to man. But Hashem and mankind, they're one. They're mamish, there's a oneness. That's what he's saying. Lush and kir, he's saying, why is King David using the word kirvas Elohim? Say the word yachtus Elohim. Vani, you know, yichud Elohim litov. Even that. You know, but what's the idea of closeness? Lush and kirva, the expression of closeness. Shaykh bedover shenim tzliyat hashani. To use the word close is when something is found next to something else. We could say we are close. I am close to the table. Ulam davar shenimtza mamish biyachad. But if something is found mamish unified within something, right? You know, I'll use a very bad example. I assume inside this thing I'm holding, you know, there's some kind of electronical equipment. I don't even know what they're called. I wouldn't even venture to say what it is. What's inside it, Brian? A who? A silicon chip. Would you say the silicon chip is close to the MP3 player? Is it close? It's part of it. It's not close. This card is close to the tape recorder. Right? But the silicon chip is the recorder. It is the recorder. It isn't close. Right? So, you know, if I say the letters on the page are close to the book. The letters of the page are the book. So what are you saying? Hashem is close to me? Hashem is close. Hashem is me. He is me. There's no place where he is not. So this word choice of closeness is a very strange word. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Ulam davar shenimtza mamish biyachad, but something that's literally together, it's part of it. Lo kol kach nofel b'lashon kirva, it's not really that appropriate to use an expression of closeness. Right, so you know, God is close to us. God is in us. It's not close. That's there. Ulam be'emes hashela zu. But the question we ask is really not a great question, because it's novas megdaras sichlius shodamad dir hechem kadosh baruch hu nimtza. Because it only comes from intellectual definitions that a person qualifies in terms of where Hashem is found vehechenu and where he is. So once we use our humanistic terms, v'zay ola biyado shalosh and kirva lo mamzes achiver sheish man kadosh baruch hu olam mechinas malkom. So then, since we think in human terms and the way a human being thinks, so it comes in our mind that the expression of closeness doesn't really make sense when we're dealing with God, you know, in terms of place and connecting God with us in terms of place. So we have problems with this. Ulam ekiven shekirves Hashem udvekas Hashem hulo inyan sheshayach lemusagi mokum gashmim. But since, as we will teach you, that closeness to Hashem and clinging to Hashem is not a concept that could be understood in terms of physical place, lekach ein mokum l'shelzu. There's really no place for this question. And you will understand as I continue what I mean when I'm saying this. And I know you don't understand what he's saying now because he hasn't fully explained it, right? So. Oh, so guess what? That's the next thing he's going to say. Okay, so again, he's trying to make it very... Okay, I can't. You know, too bad the author isn't here. Okay, that's what he's saying. He wants you to make sure, not to make these mistakes.
Right.
Not to make these mistakes. Right? Ulam etzem ha-shailet shrichel oras adam levar mar kivish ha-memes. But the question, even though the question, the way it's asked, isn't really correct, but it should arouse with us to confirm and to clarify what is the true closest Hashem. So, Rak La'ach Hashara Meivin, Bebeiru Masik Benashim Ha'ikav Hashem, only after a person understands clearly right? And his soul can understand what is this closest Hashem in the real sense. Azai yishmakom lahasku lahasig es achilik ben kiv Hashem lachlusim Hashem. Only when you really understand these terms, then we can understand that there are differences. There is a real term called kirvas Hashem, close to Hashem, and there's another term called achdus in Hashem, unified with Hashem. So there are differences. But if we really don't understand what closeness is, then we don't understand the concepts here. See, Yizak Hashem Yisbarach, Lasik Asadvarim Asagmar. We hope that Hashem will merit us to understand this clearly. Okay. Now he gets in and digs in now. Okay, so now we're going to start the dig. Chav Zayin. Hadavar Shaborer Lanu Mikolon. Shouldn't be Shaborer. I think it should be Shaborer Lanu Mikolon. That which is clear from everything we said until now. Shekirvas Hashem, he einena kirva mevichinus makom. Closeness Hashem is not a closeness that is understood in the category of place. Elamals kirvas penimis yoser, but rather it's a closeness that's much deeper. So nisbona entchila mal musa karov almasah. So first, let's try to understand the terms of the word karov. When you use the word karov, which means close, in this world, what does it mean in this world? Umisham, and then from there, ninas lahavim pnima yoser. We'll try to understand a little bit deeper. Bolam haruchani, in this spiritual world of kirvas Hashem, what closeness to Hashem is all about. So niftach bedugma, let's start with a very simple example. Adam yoshev bebeso, person sitting in his house, umisochech betelephone, and he's talking on the phone. Toch kedegach sichasu betelephone, in the middle of his talking on the phone, Nichnas Yedid Levei. So a friend comes over. So he's still on the phone. So Balabais Mesamin Laarcho. So the owner of the house, he makes a sign to his friend. She yamped him out. Wait a little bit. Ad Lachashigmer Lesochech Betelephone. Until I finish my conversation on the phone. Lachashigmer Lesochech. Once he finishes the phone call. Whom he's not sale before of Alkach, who circled Lahamtim out of shirt Nispanilov. So the guy on the phone gets off the phone and he's not sale. He apologizes in front of the guest. What made him delay so long till he could turn to the guest? And he says, "V'misnatzel." He apologizes. Shusochech im karov shelo b'telephone. I am having a discussion with. I was talking to a karov of mine on the phone. Mm-hmm. Now the word karov has two meanings in Hebrew. Karov means close. Karov means a relative. You could see how the Hebrew language is so much more beautiful than English. If you really think, you know, we just don't think. What does the word relative mean? Relative. No. What does the English word relative mean? Relative to anybody else? It's a pretty cold way of defining a relative. If you look at the word itself. In Yiddishkeit, we call a relative a karov, a close one. It's a much warmer way of describing a relative than the more scientific term, relative, right? So he says, I was on the phone with a karov. In Hebrew, this goes better. In Eretz Yisrael, you would call a relative a karov. Okay? So we wouldn't call him a relative. So we have to be into that Hebrew language mindset. So he's on the phone with a karov. So Aruch mis anyein mihu hakarov. So the guest says, oh, I'm curious, who was the karov? Heichunagor, where does he live? Balabais meishiv shishmo plonibim. Plonibigar b'chusars. Well, the name of my relative is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, and he lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, Tama Ha'oreach, so the guest wonders, Vishal S, Imugar B'chusar, so he lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kate said, Amartishukar V'shukar, how could you say he's close to you? Right? I mean, it's a bad joke, but he's trying to make a point over here. Right? He's trying to make a point. How could you say he's a Karov? He's a Karov. He's close. He's not. He's in Chicago, and you're in Tel Aviv. He's not a karov. How could you call him a karov? So he shaved a balbai, so the guy answers him. Lo marti shukarov alai bebechina shel makom. I didn't mean to say he's karov, he's close from the context of place. El a karov shali, but he's a karov of mine. Who ben dod shali. He's the son of my uncle, he's my cousin. So what do we see from this little concept, which Jeanette intuitively knew, and therefore is still patiently waiting? Klomer, ba'olam agashmi yesh beis mine kirva. In the physical world, there are two types of closeness. Echad kirva mi bechinas makom. There's one type of closeness from the aspect of place, physical proximity. And beis kirva mishpachtis. There's another one called family closeness. Right? You say, we're close. We're close. How? We're really close. Why? He's my brother. We're close. We'll use that term closeness. Av, a father, ben, a son, dod, an uncle, ben dod, a cousin. Hakir v'zoshel ben dod v'chulo. This type of closeness of a relative, of a cousin, einena b'yachas l'makom klal, is not being used in any way attributed to place at all. Elo mikivin shu krove mishpacha. But since he is close in terms of family, yesh lam kirva pnimis mitzada tolada. There is an inner closeness insofar as the birthing that occurred. It's through birth, through this deeper, you know, our blood is similar, with a lot of deeper similarities that are there by being relatives. And therefore, yesom kesher nafshi panimi. Therefore, they have an inner soulful connection that exists, that has nothing to do with physical proximity. Klomar, meaning to say, shem hakirva, the name of this relationship, or this closeness, hu yachas panimi yosem ramakam. It is a deeper connection than that of place. Hu yachas shel mekor. It's an association and a connection at the root. Yachas shel shoresh. Same thing, same expression. Ukivan shebe mekorim v'shoreshim hem echad. Since at the root they are one, hare notzer mikach kirva nafshis panimis. It creates from that a spiritual close, inner closeness. All right. So you understand a mother and a daughter. They're close. They're close. The mother lives here, the daughter lives in Eretz Yisrael. They're not close. Well, they're not close physically, but they are close in terms of what each other means to the other one. They're close from birth. All these activities have made them become close, and that's the closeness of the relative. It's an inherent deeper closeness than that of physical proximity. Let's just finish the line, and then we'll take the questions. Nim sheish beis mine kirva. Comes out, there's two types of closeness. Echad kirva b'makom. There's one type of closeness in place. And beis kirva b'nefesh. A soulful closeness. Ad kidei hiskashrus nafshis. Until there is a soulful connection. So that's what he's getting us out of this mindset. There, you know, we're used to the closeness being defined by proximity. This is a closeness that is not defined by proximity at all. It transcends any physical things you can touch. You cannot deny that a mother and a daughter or a father or a son feels a closeness. It's a real thing. It's not a phony thing. You ask a scientist to weigh it and to measure it and to bring it to the laboratory, he'll be a total failure in being able to measure it with any of the equipment that he has. Right? But clearly we have to even forget about God, just in this world. That is a closeness, that's a real closeness. As, you know, they have this expression, you know, you can be in a room with 1,000 people and still be alone. Right? But you mean you're close to 1,000 people, but you're not close to anybody. You have physical proximity, but you don't have this spiritual type of activity. This deeper closeness is not there, and you're not close in the way that a human being wants to be close. Okay, question.
I'm not sure if it's a question, but a relative is not, it's a perceptual closeness. There's nothing physical about that makes a mother close to a daughter or a father close to a son, because you can not be close. You can choose not to be close.
True. But in the normal context of how a relationship should evolve, right? I mean, it will be close. It will be close. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of feelings exchanged and things like that. A lot of giving been happening. The mother's been nurturing the child. The child's been receiving from the mother, right? So it's obviously a relation. You're right. You can have a cousin who's very far, but the fact of the matter is that they are close in terms of the birthing. The birthing has made them have the availability of such a closeness. Right, but it's not,
to be close.
You know, There's what? What'd you say?
Permission to be close.
Yeah, it's permission. It's the context of closeness. It's ease. It's an easier of entry of closeness in a relationship. And obviously, he's not going to argue that you don't have to be related and you can be just as close. But it's harder. The simplest closeness is through relatives. It's there. You're with them all day long. And if you're both a mensch, you will be close to them. If we don't act like a mensch, then we're not close to them. All right? So you don't have to be hung up on it's a relative mamish. But there is a root to this closeness that transcends a physical proximity. That's the point he's making over there. And that's all he wants us to know at this point. Yeah?
Is he going to tie this into the pasuk Banim Atem Lashem Elokecha?
Of course he's going to tie it into that pasuk. He's saying, is he going to tie this into the pasuk of Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem? You are children for God. Of course he's going to tie that in. And that's coming up in another 2 pages. Okay. All right, so we'll stop at this point, and now we're ready to really start digging in. So tomorrow, you know, don't miss tomorrow, and we're going to really move into this. Okay, the easy stuff is over now.